series today called Made Ready, and it's already on the screen, so you can see that. You can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app. Let's read, let's pray, and let's dig in. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. I'm going to read 13 verses without stopping to preach anywhere in between there. Are you ready? Here we go. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough oil, olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. And when the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him. And all the brides got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out. Verse 9, but the others replied, we don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some more for yourselves. But while they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was locked. Verse 11, later when the other five bridesmaids returned, they stood outside calling, Lord, Lord, open the door for us. But he called back, believe me, I don't know you. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your presence. You're meeting us right now in this room. And Father, I ask you right now to continue this meeting in this moment. Lord, as we dig into your word and have it, just let us have that moment, that encounter with you. Speak to us, God, the way that only your word can speak to us. Cut through all the noise. Cut through all the junk. Cut through all the distraction. Cut through all the facades and the walls and the things that we build up to try to look like we got it together and keep it together, Lord, and speak to the very heart of each and every one of us today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly, repeat this after me, say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes, open up my ears, let me see what you want me to see, let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be, in Jesus' name, amen.
Let me get the extra point. Not this time.
Come on,
you did enough.
Come on.
Chris Coleman.
Coleman. You're in the game. Come on. Hey, son. Come here. Where are you going?
You want me to go in, coach?
You don't want a helmet? Where's your helmet? Go get it.
Yes, sir. You see my helmet, man?
Find your helmet, son.
What you looking for, water boy?
Hey, let me get this real quick.
No way.
Get your helmet, man. Come on.
My goodness gracious.
Boogie. Water bug, you can't come out here with no helmet, man.
You see my helmet right here? I can still go in.
28 Street. 28
Street. Chris, you don't know where your helmet is. What are you thinking? Since when did you put your helmet?
Right there, a second ago.
Well, it ain't there. You do not know that you play the game with a helmet on? Since you're killing him right now. Huh?
Hey, man, if we're real honest, how many of us have some moments? How many of us had some moments last year where we felt like we were getting put in the big game and we couldn't find our helmet? Amen? Anybody get some moments like that? I don't know about you, but I had some moments like that many times over my life and many times over the past year where the time was ready for me to go in and do something, but I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. And when I read this parable that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, I can't help but be shaken by the thought and the idea that Jesus wants his people, Jesus wants you and me ready. Amen? Not just ready for his ultimate return, not just ready for the day that he comes back, not just ready for the rapture and to go to heaven, but Jesus wants you and I ready for anything and everything that life has to offer us. Amen, somebody? Jesus wants you and I ready. Now, in this text, Jesus is telling this parable. This isn't a true story. This is just an illustrative story that Jesus tells to tell a greater principle about the kingdom and about how Jesus wants kingdom people to operate, to look, and act. And in fact, this is just actually a couple of days before the crucifixion. Jesus knows that he's in his final few days here on earth. He's in Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And in fact, the Bible says that they, him and his disciples, his 12 disciples, had left the city of Jerusalem, and they had gone outside the city a little bit where all the crowd and the excitement and the adventure was. And they were on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus, for the next couple of chapters, does begin to teach them about the end of the age, does begin to prepare them and warn them and say, this is what it's going to look like. This is what I expect of you. This is what's happening. And Jesus uses, we see this idea of the bridegroom, and the five and the bridal party and the foolish virgins and all that, and it's like, okay, we don't understand. Here's what's going on. When he told this to the disciples, they would understand what he's alluding to. See, in this time in the Old Testament and in the Hebrew tradition, in the Jewish tradition, there were actually three parts to someone's to a marriage, to two people, flesh uniting, becoming husband and wife. There was the engagement, which was basically the announcement of the intention of that my son is going to marry this person's daughter and that. Then there was the betrothal, which was an actual ceremony where they exchanged some words, exchanged some vows. But then there was the third part that actually would sometimes take place up to a year later, where the groom would leave after the betrothal, I guess maybe go get his house in order, get things prepared, and then he would come back and actually claim his bride, and they would then go, the two become one, leave your mother and father's house and become one. And so Jesus is referring to this third part of the wedding ceremony, the moment, and during that part of the wedding, during that part of the waiting, there would be a bridal party, and when the bridal party heard that the groom was on his way, they would go out to meet the groom, light the way to bring the groom to the bride, and bring that marriage to bring that ceremony to its completion. Amen. Okay. And here's what we need to take away real quick from there. Listen to me. You and I, the church, the sons and daughters of God, not only are we part of the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, but we are also, while we wait for the groom to return, we are the wedding party that is lighting the way for Jesus to meet other people that are coming in to be part of the bride. Amen? That is our job. That is what we are here to do. We are not here to argue points of politics. We are not here to argue this thing or that thing. We are here to simply light the way for people to see Jesus. Amen, somebody? That is our primary goal. That is our primary point and reason for being here, to light the way. Turn to somebody and say, light the way. And so he tells this story of this bridal party, okay? And in that moment, he says, listen, we are to be ready, not just ready to ultimately be with Jesus forever in heaven and ready for the rapture and ready for Jesus to come back, but we are to be ready at all times to light the way. Amen? Turn to somebody and say, we got to be made ready. Now, what is it that makes some people ready and others not ready? One thing that determines whether or not I'm ready for anything. And what makes me ready for anything is whether or not I am filled with oil. Amen. Now, you're going to hear me say oil about 4,700 times over the next 15 minutes, so I want to make sure you know what I'm talking about when I say oil. In the Bible, oil represents the anointing of God or the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God, the moving of God, and the infilling of God in the life of the believer. That is what we mean when we say oil. Oil almost always represents the anointing or the Spirit of God. Amen? Okay, so the thing that made some ready and some not ready was simply the presence of oil. Let me say it this way. It is the oil that makes my lamp ready to light the dark. Amen? It is the oil that makes my lamp ready to face the dark. If I don't have oil, I don't have any light. Amen, somebody? Let me say it again. If I don't have oil, I don't have any light. And this is where we've got to make a very clear distinction, and we've got to understand this. Listen, the lamp is only there, and the only purpose of the lamp, it only exists for a vessel to house the oil which lights the way. Amen, somebody? And I worry sometimes in my life, if I don't spend way more time making my lamp ready, getting my lamp looking good, getting my lamp to look like it's ready to go, getting my lamp like I want it to look, and decorating it and fixing it and putting on a good outward appearance with my lamp. And listen, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, but I've got to understand that a lamp with no oil is completely useless, no matter how good or right or anything else that it looks. Amen. In fact, any old thing can become a lamp as long as it's got some oil. Come on, somebody. I can take a lamp and I can mold it wonderfully and masterfully and artisanally and craftsmanshiply. Like that? How many adjectives is he going to use? Till I run out of ones and make one up. But I can do that from clay. And I can ordain it, and I can decorate it, and I can carve things in it, and I can fire it up and harden it, and I can paint it and do whatever else you do. That's all I know about pottery. That's what I don't know. And it can look so wonderful, and it can look so great, and it can be put on a shelf and be decorative. But if there's no oil, that thing ain't doing nothing but sitting there decorating and looking good. But I can take a stick, wrap it up with some gauze, and put some oil on that gauze, and that baby will light the way as long as there's oil. Come on, somebody. What I'm trying to say is we need a lot less looking at the lamp and a lot more going after the oil. Amen, somebody? We need a lot less trying to make the lamp look like we think the lamp is supposed to look, and we need to make sure that we are focused on getting the oil in our lives, because any old nasty thing can become a lamp if it's got the oil, but if the great-looking lamp has no oil, it's ultimately useless. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, get oil. Turn to somebody else and say, get oil. Listen, religion, an outward show of worship, saying all the right things, doing all the right things, going to all the right things, coming to church on Sunday morning and all that stuff, even though those are all things that we should do if we want the oil to get the oil, if that's all I'm doing and I don't have the oil, I'm just a lamp that's useless. Amen, somebody? I've got to have oil if I want to be ready. And this is a question I ask when I read this. Why did five of these, and I want you to make this distinction. You got to hear this now. Because the word of God is intentional and God's words are chosen carefully. I want you to notice that God, Jesus does not say evil and good virgins. Amen. This is not a judgment on their character. It is just a simple fact of foolish and wise, ready and not ready. Amen, somebody? Amen. Listen, you can be a great person and still not be wise and get oil. Come on, somebody. Amen. So why were they foolish? Why would you not take along extra oil? Why would you not do what, if your main job was to wait for the groom to come and be ready to light the way when he knocked on the door, why would you not invest more time, energy, resources, and make sure that you had the oil to do that job when that is the only main job that you have? And I got a couple of ideas of why they may not have took enough oil. First one is this. You know what? Oil is costly. Oil costs something. To have the presence of Jesus, to have the anointing and the empowerment and the infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life, making me ready for anything that comes my way, friend, it will cost me something. I cannot spend my life, and I'm not talking about simply money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about the relationships that I have. Listen, I cannot spend my life on things that do not give me oil. If I want to have enough to be ready whenever life calls. Amen, somebody? Oil is costly. And they might have said, you know what? I'm not willing to spend this exuberant or extravagant amount on oil. I'll just get enough just to get by. I'll just get enough just to get me to church on Sunday morning. I'll just get enough oil to go and have a good service. I'll just get enough oil to make it one more day. I'll just get enough oil, but there's not enough there when somebody else comes or crisis comes or when somebody else says, hey, can you pray with me? And you don't know what to do and you flip out because you don't have enough oil for you and somebody else. Come on, somebody. It's going to cost you something. Oil cost. Another reason that I imagine they might not have took along extra oil is that if I'm taking extra oil, I'm going to have to begin to decide what I am and am not going to carry through my life's journey. Not only does oil cost me, but it's going to make me have to choose, because I've only got so much bandwidth, I've only got two hands, and I can't carry everything along. Let me say it this way. I can't carry all my baggage and the oil. Amen, somebody? I can't carry all of my stuff and carry the oil. And if I want to be ready, I'm going to have to look at all this stuff I'm trying to carry, and eventually I'm going to have to decide the oil is more valuable to me than this stuff from the past I've been carrying. The oil is more valuable to me than my political ideas that I cannot seem to get rid of. Amen, somebody. The oil is more valuable to me than the racism that I carry in my heart. The oil is more valuable to me than the bitterness I've been carrying around. The oil is more valuable to me than the identity that somebody else put on me and I've been carrying around. Come on, somebody. At some point, I'm going to have to decide, I'm going to carry the oil, and if I can't carry it all, I'm going to let whatever else go so that I can carry the oil and be ready whenever Jesus knocks on the door. I can't carry all my baggage and the oil. The Bible says the groom was a long time in coming. They were waiting around for a while with this oil. You know what I imagine? I guarantee you, when the five foolish ones and the five wise ones showed up and they saw all the extra oil they were carrying, the five foolish ones showed up with extra clothes and extra baggage and extra stuff, extra whatever else they thought, with a great decorative lamp, and maybe the five wise ones showed up with some nasty looking sticks and some fabric wrapped around, that was their lamp, but they had all the oil that they could possibly carry. They were ready to stay and wait it out and be ready for whenever the opportunity came and the moment came. I guarantee you there were some of those five foolish ones that looked at the five wise ones and said something along these lines. You know, I don't really think you need all that. You think that was a conversation? Why'd you bring so much? Why didn't you bring some of this other stuff that we brought? You think you're really gonna need that much oil? You don't need to do all that. I guarantee you there are some people telling you this week, you don't really need to go to church every single night this week and pray. You don't really need to fast for 7 days at the beginning of the year. You don't really need to go to church every single Sunday. You don't really need to give all of that. You don't really need to serve in that area. You don't really need to be that radical. You don't really need to lift your hands like that. You don't really have to sweat like that, do you, preacher? You don't really have to get excited like that, do you? You don't really have to come to an altar and get on your face and cry out to God and shed tears and pour out your soul. It don't take all that. Listen, it does if you want the oil, and I'm after the oil. I'm not after a good religious show for you. I'm not after a nice little neat cute moment in time. I'm after the oil. If you're after the oil, why don't you right now just declare, I want the oil. If I want the oil, it may take all that. If I want the oil, it may take getting a little wild once in a while. If I want the oil, it might take pushing some stuff back so that I can make room for more of God in my life. If I want the oil, it may take showing up when I don't want to be there. It may take reading my Bible when I don't feel anything. It may take praying when I don't feel anything. It may take believing and quoting and declaring the Word of God when nothing seems to be happening at all. It may take coming to an altar and getting on my face before God if I want the oil. Now, if you just want to have a cute little lamp that looks the part, if you just want to have a cute little lamp that looks like it's ready, no, you don't need all that oil. But if you want to be ready for whatever comes, you're going to have to let some other stuff go to get the oil. How many want the oil in this place this morning? Father, I want the oil. Jesus, I want to be ready. Now, crisis will reveal readiness. Okay? What was the crisis here? The crisis was, all of a sudden, the groom showed up. It's time to go. We can face all kinds of different crises. Last year, many of us, we all faced all kinds of wild crises we never would have thought possible. Amen? None of us ever wanted to be homeschool parents. Some of you may have. I didn't. Both for my children's educational benefits and for just the general sanity of our family dynamic. But there we were. Crisis knocking on the door. Come on, somebody. And everybody looks ready until crisis or opportunity or the moment knocks on the door. Because I want you to see this. They all had lamps. They all had some oil. They all looked the same. And notice this. They all even fell asleep. Amen? It's okay to fall asleep while you're waiting and get some rest, as long as you know you're ready when the door gets knocked on. Come on, somebody. They all looked the same. They all were doing the same thing. However, when crisis knocks, listen, that makes the difference between who just looked ready and felt ready and who actually was ready. And the only difference between the wise and the foolish virgins in this story is some had oil and some didn't. It's the oil that makes me ready. When a door opens, when an opportunity comes, when a crisis hits, that is not the time to go and find and search for the oil. I'm supposed to already have the oil stored up in my soul so that when the moment comes, when the opportunity comes, when crisis comes, I'm ready to act instantly. Amen, somebody? And some of you guys, listen, some of you guys didn't realize the kind of stuff that we would be facing, and you thought, man, I didn't. Some of you guys didn't know how ready you were last year until some of the stuff came that hit your way, and all of a sudden, the oil showed up, and you was like, man, I didn't think I was going to make it, but God showed up in my life. You didn't realize you had that store of oil. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? Crisis reveals who's ready and who's not. Opportunity shows who's ready and who's not. And listen, when there's no activity and I'm sleeping and I'm waiting, that is the time to get filled up with oil. Because when the moment comes, when the opportunity comes, when the crisis hits, that's going to be too late. And if I'm busy, here's what does the story say? Okay? They were gone trying to get oil when they needed to have oil. And when they came back, the opportunity was gone. The door was closed. The moment had passed. And they couldn't get that moment back again, even though they stood there knocking, begging to come back in. Amen, somebody? So I got to be ready and be filled with oil now so that I'm ready when my moment comes. This is one last thing that I want to talk to you about, because we're going to be talking about being made ready and how to stay ready and how to be ready for the next several weeks. This is just the foundational thing we're getting into this morning. I want you to notice this very key point. They all fell asleep, knock on the door. Yo, the groom's coming. All right, let's go. Light our lamps. Oh, dang. we don't have enough oil to light a lamp. And what they say? They said, can we borrow some of yours? And what was their answer? They said, we don't have enough for you and me. You're going to have to go. They said, go to the store and buy some quickly. I want you to notice this. They couldn't share their oil. I cannot share my oil with you because that oil came from God for me. I can't just simply give you my oil. I can show you where to get your own, but I can't share what God has given me because my oil won't work for you. God gave that oil for me. It's a special blend. It's a house blend. It's a craft brew. It only comes for me, and you've got to get your own special brew. Come on, somebody. My oil won't work for you. I can tell you the source of where I got mine, but I can't give my oil to you. You've got to have your own ready to go. Amen, somebody? So listen to me, kids. Listen to me, teenager. Listen to me, student. Listen, you can't live off your mom and dad's oil. You've got to get your own from Jesus. Amen? Listen, you can't live off your mom. Listen, some of you adults, you can't live off your grandma and grandpa's oil when they took you to church, when you as a little kid. You've got to get your own oil to be made ready. Where do I get it? The source is Jesus. Amen? So here is our stance. So what do I do with all this? Here's what we got to do. Here's the position that we've got to take. And it's this. Because I don't know. Listen. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I know maybe if you've seen memes and heard jokes, like, we're all so excited. 2020's over, thank God we made it. 3 days into 2021, a coup almost took place in Washington, D.C. It was wild, right? Whatever your reasons or conspiracy theories or ideas or thoughts on where all the, I don't care about that. That's what happened. A bunch of people stormed the Capitol building. Who was behind it? Whatever. We can debate that. I don't want to debate it. You can debate it with somebody else, but that's what happened. Amen, somebody? That's why we're like, okay, I guess 2021 is just going to keep on rolling, right? I seen one meme. It was like, it said something like, you know, excited for 2020. It said 2020, whatever, it's over. And then it was like 2021 said, here, hold my beer, something like that, you know what I mean? Here's the thing. Here's the deal. I don't know what I need to be ready for. What I do know is that with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I'll be ready for anything. What I do know is that the oil will make me ready for whatever comes. Whatever mountain I've got to climb, whatever mountain I've got to tell move, whatever demonic spirit I've got to rebuke, whatever battle I've got to face, the oil will make me ready. I want to be made ready. How about you? Stay with me all over this place this morning. Here is what our stance is. Here's what we got to say. These are our thoughts. I need to have this attitude. Lord, fill me today so that I can be ready for tomorrow. Amen? Fill me today. That's going to be our prayer. Fill me today. Make me ready for tomorrow. Every single day is a day that I get up and say, Lord, fill me today. Now, how do I actually do that? Is that, listen, more than just a prayer? You know what that means? If I'm going to be filled, that means daily I've got to get up and surrender. Daily, I need to get up and empty myself. Daily, I need to say, you know what, God, it's not about me today. It's about you. Jesus, you're the king, and Justin Bradley is not. Jesus, you're the Lord on the throne of my heart, and I renounce that position. That has to take place every day. And not only does it have to take place every morning, it's probably going to need to take place around noon, around lunch, and it's probably going to have to take place around dinner time too. Come on, somebody. It's a constant moment and a constant battle and a constant prayer and a constant stance and attitude and position of my heart that says, Lord, empty me of me so that I can be filled with you. Amen? Empty me of me so that I can be filled with you. that starts with knowing Jesus. And right now, if you would, I just want you to, I just want to ask you, just close your eyes. Bow your heads for a moment. We do that as just a way to focus, get rid of distractions. Just make this time that you have right now with God and this moment that we have in the Word of God, make it personal between you and Jesus. And my simple question to you is this right now. There's no oil, there's no readiness without first knowing Jesus. And if you're in this place this morning, or if you're watching with us online, or maybe you've been eavesdropping, maybe you got a family member in your house right now online that's been worshiping today, and you're in the room, and you didn't mean to be listening, but you were, and all of a sudden your heart's beating and your palms are sweating, and you think, what's going on? You know what's happening? The Holy Spirit is invading your space right now and saying, this is your moment. You might be feeling like that in this room this morning as well. That's the Holy Spirit knocking on your door. Just like the bridegroom knocked on this door in the story at one moment, Jesus might be knocking on your door right now in this moment. And you have an opportunity to open up by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter how bad you've been or how good you've been. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how many times you've blown it. Doesn't matter how many times you've messed up. Doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't even matter how many times you prayed that prayer, started and jacked it up and had to start again. If you need to start again and come fresh to Jesus for the first time or the thousandth time, right now you can do that. And you might be thinking, well, man, surely God is wore out with me. And surely God is fed up with me. And surely God is upset with me and angry with me. And I want to let you know that that is a straight up lie from the pit of hell, because our God is a good God. He is a good Father in heaven who loves you and me, and He is not mad at you. He is not upset at you. He is lovingly drawing you to Himself because He loves you and wants the best for you. And the best for you is Jesus. So if you're right now in this place today, you're online, and you don't know Jesus, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am going to ask you to take the step of raising your hand. We raise our hand as a public acknowledgement, a declaration saying, yes, I'm making that step today. Yes, I'm making that commitment today. If you're online, you can just say, you can just drop that raised hand emoji in the comments, or just right there say, I'm praying that prayer today. And then everyone in this room can go to redlifechurch.com, and there's a link right in the middle of the page that says, as you pray that prayer, become a follower of Jesus, click that, and we're going to be in touch with you and pray with you. Or there'll be people along the front side of this stage when we get dismissed here to pray with you in just a moment if you want that. But right now, the Lord is drawing you. You say, man, I need to start over, or I need to start for the first time. I want to know Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I need to make Him the Lord of my life. Right now, will you just raise your hand all over this room? Drop it right there in the comments. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up this morning. A couple people about to get their worlds rocked by the power of Jesus Christ today. Amen, church. I want everyone in this room, and if you're watching online at home, I want you to pray this prayer with me out loud so that you can hear it with your own ears. Pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. And I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. Make me a new creature as your Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of me. I surrender everything that I am, my past, my future, and my present belongs to you. You are the King, and I am not. Now rule over my life. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, help me to follow Jesus every second of every breath from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, right now, ask your breath of God just to breathe life to every single person that prayed that prayer, raised their hand this morning, and made that their declaration today. Every person that raised that made that prayer from the bottom of their heart. Lord, I pray that you would do what only you can do, what your word promised to do, which is to let us know in our hearts that we have become children of God, according to Romans chapter 8. Make that moment, let a spirit of adoption sweep through this moment, and let us know that we are being adopted into your family, and that we can call you Father from this day on because of Jesus. And we love you and thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I pray over every single one of us that, God, you would make our lives obsessed with getting the oil, with being filled with oil every day. Whatever we have to surrender, whatever we have to empty ourselves of, whatever we have to refuse to carry, whatever we have to spend our lives on to have the oil, Lord, I pray that you will buy that in that transaction. Make us ready in Jesus' name. And I thank you that it is because of your anointing, it is because of your oil, it is because of the Spirit of God working through us and in us, God, that we can stand and be ready no matter what comes our way in Jesus' precious name. God, fill us today and make us ready for tomorrow. Come on, lift up your hands all over this place if you want to be filled today and ready for tomorrow. And pray that with me. Pray it with me. Say, Lord, fill me today. Make me ready for tomorrow. Say it again. Fill me today. Make me ready for tomorrow. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, there are going to be people around this altar ready to pray with you this morning and agree with you about whatever's going on in your life. Stretch your hands this way and receive this blessing from the Lord. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's worship him for just a moment. And these altars are open if you want to come worship, pray, or receive prayer this morning in Jesus' name.